Sheriff Park, Counselor Sunday.
No.
Counselor Sunday, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, everyone. ARC will be having a special meeting tomorrow from 12 to 3:30 to kind of finish up our recommendations so that we'll have a final version before going into like a values admission statement. It is open to everyone. We would like you all to join. As well, just something to think about, and I know that not a lot of people might be able or know the two smells, but there's a difference between marijuana and sage. So, if you have a question, go in and ask. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sunday. Is there anyone from audit who can report on behalf of Councillor Thibodeau? Councillor Stack, go ahead. We haven't met since last meeting. Thank you. Thank you. Councillor Kim, for bylaw.
Hi, everyone. So bylaw committee has met last Thursday, November 8th, and we went through a few things. We were talking about changes to our bylaw to 2400, and also making some changes to how bylaws work and stuff like that, which I believe we will bring up some presentation near future. And we're still working on doing the second principles for bill number 5 regarding bilingualism portion. Moving on, our next meeting will be held next Thursday, which is November 22nd at 4 p.m. And if you're interested to join bylaw committee, we have actually one open seat that's coming up, and we will be recruiting one more member to our bylaw committee in upcoming agenda items. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Fleming for CAC.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Fairly brief meeting today. There were a couple of discussion items regarding both the Council Administration Committee standing orders and the Council standing orders, where there are a number of items being proposed for change. As opposed to doing one change every now and then, I prefer to go through and just kind of do things wholesale. And it does sound, after the discussion we had, that there is some appetite to burning it down and starting from scratch. So there is a working document in the council folder. If anybody can't make it to the next meeting of CAC, feel free to add in your 2 cents there. And on either the CAC standing orders or council standing orders. And there was something else, but I can't remember. So that would be it. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Fleming. President Larson for the executive.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just double checking, but I think the only motion to come out of executive since last council was to send the general manager to the Amicus Conference. Mark, is that what it's
called?
Amicus Conference. It's a gathering of people in Mark's type position once a year, as well as a number of just general discussions in regards to things like how we structure referendum plebiscites, our master agreement, and oh my gosh, so many things that you will also discuss today, including the landing and the agreement that's on here. Student care agreement. Thank you, folks.
With great difficulty, thank you, President Larson. Vice President Ripka for Finance.
Hello, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Finance Committee has not met since the last council meeting because of some organizational issues. In other news, if you didn't pick up your discount card, you can come see me at the break. Sorry for breaking the rules, Mr. Speaker.
I'll allow it. Councillor Ferris for NOMCOM.
Okay, NOMCOM has not met since our last meeting, but I love my team, that is all.
Councillor Rates.
Yes.
For policy.
Yes, so after missing our meeting on October 23rd, we came back together on November 6th and were very productive, and I loved it, and I'm thankful for everybody working very hard. We didn't have anything fruitful to bring forward to this council meeting. However, council can look forward to seeing first reading ready versions of engagements, quality instruction, and experiential learning in the very, very near future, and then a little bit further down the line, policies on student employment, students in governance, and CSJ, language accessibility. So we're doing stuff, don't worry. Our next meeting will be on November 20th from 5 to 7 p.m. I hope to get a picture. We forgot to do that last time, even though everybody was there. And very recently a member has stepped down from policy committee, so later on I'll make a motion at the very end of the meeting outside of what was presented on the agenda. And if we're able to do that, that's good, but if not, it will happen at a later council meeting. Thank you very much. Look forward to the rest of the meeting.
Thank you, Councilor Eights. Governor Flanagan for the Board of Governors.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We haven't had a board meeting since our last council meeting, so this will be less an update on the board itself and more on my conduct as the board representative as of late. Last night, on the evening of November 12th, I posted to social media regarding the topic of domestic violence. This post was not thought through, and through the feedback provided by others, I now realize they were both ignorant and insensitive on my part. After taking it down, I was provided with multiple resources so that I could better educate myself on the situation I was referring to, and I believe now I have a better understanding of the topic. I hope that as I continue to learn more about it, I can better understand the impact of my behavior and begin to repair the relationships that I may have inadvertently damaged. I am in the wrong, and there is no excuse for my behavior. I apologize unreservedly. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor Clement.
Any other members of boards or committees wish to make a report? Governor Clement, go ahead. It's not working yet.
Oh, right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This report is on behalf of CGSR, FACTA, the First Alberta Campus Radio Association, broadcasting out of the sub-basement in 0009. We recently concluded the fund drive, where we had a $105,000 goal, and we surpassed that by a little bit, reaching $115,136.40, which was quite fantastic over a week. For the first time ever, CGSR, through a partnership with the Edmonton Community Foundation, has established a forever fund by reaching a needed stretch goal of $10,000 in seed funding to start, which will be locked in forever and grants back approximately 4% per year, which would grant us a modest return of $400 right away, but it will continue to grow over time. The station would like to use it to fund a self-sustaining bursary for student volunteers and content producers, including but not limited to such local producers as Diana Gerardo, which won the 2018 Student Programming Award for her piece Rise of Archinian Rock in Dictatorship Times, and the year prior, the current Gateway Editor-in-Chief Omar Salafu, who won the 2017 award for his piece Cyber Wall Black and History of the N-Word. Now, both of these were produced locally here at CGSR, and they are national awards, so these are a huge deal, and this forever fund will continue to help us put out great content like that, not only for the campus, but for the community at large. So I'm thrilled that for how many years in a row now that we've met our fund drive goal. I look forward to see what the station can do both this year and in the coming years. Thank you.
Is it working?
Nope. I can see the speaker's list, just the mic's not working. You do that here, go ahead.
I want to make a report from the Council of Faculty Associations because they're technically a board or a committee of council, so. Anyway, so the COFA Advocacy Board is actually developing an academic advising survey that I would really love council's feedback on. So in the next few days, I'll be sending out an email with a very draft survey. It's really, really hard to, I guess, like understand because of all the piping, but I'd love for everyone to test it out on behalf of COFA, and I will let the COFA Advocacy Board know that they appreciate your feedback because we are trying to make it really easy, and we also have a lot of cool prizes attached. So please do the survey. I would love to send it out via email.
Report. Seeing none, we've also reached our recess time. We'll close board committee reports there. We'll go into open forum after the break. President Larson.
Here.
Vice President Beck. Vice President Brown.
Here.
Vice President Rebka.
Present.
Vice President Bourgeois.
Present.
Governor Clement.
Here.
Councilor Lynn. Councilor Lynn. He was here.
You might have left something in his bag.
Okay, you're in the back. I'll give him that. Councilor Kobus. Not here. Councilor Anderson's in live stream. Councilor Raitt.
Here.
Councilor Wally.
Here.
Councilor Messini. Councilor Bielak.
Here.
Councilor Cutter is in live stream. Councilor Lee.
Here.
Councilor Hussein.
Here.
Councilor Staff.
Here.
Councilor Ferris.
Here.
Councilor Thibodeau is still not here. Councilor Ansari is in the live stream. Councilor Yao.
Here.
Councilor Rosalind, she's also in the live stream. Councilor Bose.
Here.
Councilor Adwan.
Here.
Councilor Chung, live stream. Councilor Ahmad, not here. Councilor Sunday.
Here.
Councilor Deanne.
Here.
Councilor Palmer.
Present.
Councilor Azuki, not here. Councilor Hadouche.
Yep.
Councilor Kim.
Here.
Councilor Pinto is not here. Councilor Agarwal.
Here.
Councilor Rizvi.
Yeah.
Councilor Bruce in the live stream. Councilor Delcourt.
It's dinner number two.
Okay, it's now 7:35. Be back at 7:50.
All right. Levi, what do you post online?
Put me down, but it was so. Last night I met up with a friend. They confided in me that they were recently victim of that. And after a few drinks, I got a little bit careless on Facebook, and I opined to nobody in particular that I couldn't understand why somebody who was in that position would go back to that person. Instantly regretted it and took it down, and after hearing from a few different people that told me, well, this is why they did it, and this is why, like, there's multiple reasons. So
I see. Yeah, no, I don't know much about it. Okay,
I see.
I was wondering, like, what, I just wanted to know if, like, if that was a special interest of yours, or, like, what, or if you were, as part of some research you were doing, or if you had, like, a general comment you made.
No,
like,
it was,
I see, I understand.
Happened to a friend.
Right, right.
But I realize now that was in your past.
Well, your eloquent apology, I'm sure, it was received very well by council as a whole.
Only time will tell, because what I heard, reaction was quite negative and quite swift.
Well, at least you weren't in an in-camera session where everyone discussed it.
Well, no. Well, I mean, it's something that I need to be more cognizant of, where if you're an elected rep, you don't, you're almost
Yeah.
And what you say outside of council chambers still reflects on
mm-hmm, yeah.
So, note to self, if you go to Boston Pizza and you have two minutes, phone us. Or leave it at
that. Right. You know, the only time I did something similar to that is I criticized a journalist on the quality. Like, I sent them an email. I normally, you're supposed to do this anonymously, but obviously I'm going to all the Senate, you know, as myself, almost like called the reporting and corrected a number of elements of the story. And they were very unhappy about that. But I did that in the capacity of like someone, like a youth counselor associated with the issue as a member of the COIC. Like, you know, because I worked on this issue and this is why I can tell you these things are wrong. And then there was some concern over whether it's the place of us to be telling journalists how to do their jobs. But still, like, I still, I think everyone should send as many increases as they want to the press to tell them how they can improve upon their source. However, they should do it anonymously. That was the only thing I regret.
Would they make changes with anonymous feedback? Cause
I don't know.
There's been a couple times where...
I think they do. I'm sure they do. No, because my like many times, my grandmother and my grandfather would tell me, like, oh yes, I emailed them about this fact or about how they framed this issue and they changed it.
Were you around when they still had paper copies and not like...
No. Only the magazine.
Three lines free. Essentially, do you remember the paper gateways? Hey. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Oh, what?
Do you remember the paper gateways? Like the newspaper, not the magazine?
I think they had them in my first year.
Do you remember the three lines free? Where anybody could tweet, like, submit three lines? It's like it was like anonymous tweeting back in the day.
That'd be cool. Unfortunately, I think Twitter might have made it obsolete.
Yeah, kind of. Well, it was like a way that anybody could submit three lines, and whatever it is, they put it on their on like a little section of the page for me. And so there's a few times where I'd go through and I'd put, like, there's an error on this page, there's an error on this page. And somebody came, there's a letter, like an open letter in the next issue, like, whoever's submitting this, we're not going to fix it unless you let us know. Like, we want a name attached.
Right. But I think that's bad, because it discourages people to do it. Not everyone is willing.
Yeah.
Like, if the error is there, that it should be corrected irrespective of whether or not the person whom identified it is willing to reveal themselves publicly.
You know what? You know what campus needs? We need, like, a revived thing. A new chitter for a new age. Because chitter is basically dead now.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so we need to...
Isn't that Chillibit?
Yes, that's right. Well, and also now the admins don't actually exist anymore.
No, they've been gone for... I think so. Once they realized that A, they couldn't monetize it, and B, nobody was interested in purchasing it, they vanished. And so it's on a slow, steady decline. Eventually, their payments to the web server are going to run out, and it's going to die.
But wow, that's optimistic.
It's not a matter of if, but...
Yeah, I never used it, but...
Oh, you're not missing. Oh, it's such... Be thankful you never fell in that rabbit hole.
Yes. Cancellor retreats.
I've never seen so many problems with the microphones before, gosh.
For me?
The microphones. I've never seen so many problems develop within the course of a meeting before. Did you fix your iPad yet? Did you, the screen?
No, not yet. Because they told me that the iPad screen is without warranty for mine. So if I fix it, it's just like equal money to buy a new one. That's like $380.
To
buy a new one is like $450.
Right. So you'll just buy a new one later on.
Yes. And she's like, try it. I was like, okay.
And it's still functional. So like.
Yeah, it's still working, but they will say if you change the screen, it's like it's more internal damage.
Oh.
Don't know. I would just leave it.
That's bad. Well, I damaged my car, but I was able to. I had it fixed finally today. Because I drove a 2013 Hyundai Elantra. I drove into a curb. No, by accident in a very icy day, and damaged the control arm of my vehicle. So like I couldn't drive anywhere because it was like turned substantially like in one direction. I had to like fight with the steering wheel. But no, luckily it was very cheap. Like if I hit someone, that's when the real costs come in. But no, only like $150. Buy the new parts, had it installed, safe. But thank goodness. I know, cause it's so expensive. I don't recommend driving, honestly. Unbelievable. These insurance people, extortionary. The additional costs of fuel, maintenance, all the stuff.
I just wash it.
Is that plastic?
Yes, it's the reused one.
Yeah.
Because it gets rid of some, like, 10 cents or whatever.
Yeah, who cares about being sustainable? I get a discount.
But I find it hard because I have to wash it every time. What? I just bought it. But no, I don't want
to
use it.
I wonder how many times you have to go to Starbucks to make it worthwhile. Like, to have it paid off, essentially.
How much was that?
I
can't imagine it being more than $10, so...
I bought a coffee and two, like, almond, two bags of almond, it's like 10 and 40,
$14. For two bags of coffee and that?
One coffee, two bags of almond, and that.
So, maybe about... Six, maybe?
Yeah.
So, 60 visits, and then it's all green.
But you have to remember to bring that. Because you have to...
My briefcase is so small, I can never do that, though.
But if you put it just in bag, it's like dirty.
Right, yeah. Do you agree about the meetings having to be changed? Do you feel discouraged at speaking?
Yes, but that was kind of like, I didn't want to change something like really big. I would say, personally, I would just train myself by looking at the documents and what you wrote. I guess what you wrote is like a review. And I know what's going on.
I write?
Yes.
Is that what you said? Oh, okay. Well, like, the Manpreet does lots of the agenda building.
I just do the minutes. Like, so when you attend CAC, do you read that?
Yes, I actually.
Oh, okay.
Because when they're talking, they kind of like fast, and I don't know what is going on. I cannot catch up. So I do reviews and previews. So that's it.
Right.
So it's like, personally, I would say self-training.
Yeah, I agree. I think so.
I don't know. In our culture, it's like, if you move, just move to the red place. If you don't move, just stay there, don't say anything. But that was like, I never seen somebody talking about we want to change, but it's like a culture thing.
Yeah, that's sort of in, not frequently that one does see that. It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
To start from scratch.
I don't know, if we don't have Robert's rule or something that's functioning, what are we supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm the last creator. Maybe some other.
Yeah, there has to be something. Do you like juice?
No, actually, just a diet thing. Because last time I went to CAP. There's like a stem cell donation, about something like that. And I tried to see if I'm healthy for the donation. And they just told me I'm overweight. What?
What?
Don't look at me, sorry.
I don't know if I believe that. So, but juice isn't that much healthier than coffee. Because it still has a lot of sugar, 34 grams of sugar, which is almost the same amount as pop does.
It does have vitamins.
Yeah, it has vitamins and some less. Yeah.
As long as I don't eat too much. Mm.
I eat too much.
No, I'm not talking about.
No, but I'm talking about me.
We will move into open forum shortly. There's only our guest in the gateway here. Let's see if we come back in.
Vice President Rook. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
thankful for your concern, and what I can do is bring it to a business group tomorrow to say that we have had a request to get honey. My guess is just because it's not as cheap as white refined sugar, but you know what, if y'all want honey, we'll see what we can do.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ripka. Councilor Kim.
Hello. So it's a little bit late, but I got to kind of look through executive's platform and then came up with a few questions because I only have three chances. I'll ask three people today, and who knows what more I'll ask. My question is directed to Leaky Brown. So in your platform, you have talked about accountability to students, and I want to speak exactly about faculty associations. I've seen your involvement a lot with government CASA group, but what are have you been to, like, faculty association meetings, because that's what you have mentioned in one of your platform points, or what have you done for FAs and DAs, is my question.
Thank you, Brown, go ahead.
Fantastic, thank you for the question. So every year, the executive does meet with every faculty association for a lunch or a dinner. Which we use as an opportunity to get to know them, which has been really fantastic so far. Through that, I've been able to sort of target with a few faculties, Augustana being one of them, and I believe it was Medicine and Dentistry is the other, that are looking to up their advocacy and find some points where we might be able to collaborate. So those are a couple of specific examples. I mentioned in the past that I'd love to do office hours at faculty association offices. That's something I haven't done as of yet due to a number of things over the last few weeks, the bill and some very impromptu traveling being some of that. But that's something I hope to work out for December before exam break, because I know as soon as exam break happens, it's pretty useless. And then in the new year as well. I also, after talking with CSJ students over the last few weeks, intend to, and with a number of research different points I've had, I intend to ask AUFSJ if they'd like to host Students Union Town Hall at Campus St. John, hopefully sometime in late January. So those are some of the few answers, but I do continue to, I really hope to be able to vamp up meetings and discussions with faculty associations as the rest of the year goes on and travel sort of halts a little bit.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Councilor Molle.
My question is for Councilor Sunday. I'm wondering if they could continue on with their, Chair's remarks. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. I did leave out that from my chair's report. The first thing being, met with Cheryl, the traditional knowledge keeper, today. One of the things that we decided to do, and we will be taking steps to go forward with recommendations, is we will be doing some kind of either ARC-wide or council-wide SWET. So I'll be sending out more information as it comes to me, including like a sign-up sheet and what to do and stuff like that. So just watch your emails for that. And I think that was it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councilor Lee.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is for the Vice President, Academic. While the Audit Committee approved the audit for OASIS by email, that's the Arts Faculty Association, they have still not received their funds. This happened over 2 weeks ago. They need their FAMF money in order to fulfill obligations to department associations and meet other commitments by fixed dates. I understand that the VP Academic has been made aware of the situation. I have also been in touch with DG to see what's happening, and there seems to be some confusion about this. Could the VP Academic update Council on the progress of the transfer of money to OASIS? And is there a date when they could expect that money by?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the question. Yeah, I've been in very close contact with the president of OASIS about this FAMF dispersal issue, and it's unfortunate that he is in dire need of money to run services, which is what an FA does. So we followed up with our finance core manager today. And the check is ready to go, and it was actually made out to the Arts Student Association, formerly known as CBAS or whatever. So once we make it up to OASIS, it'll be ready to be picked up by the end of the week. Tomorrow, actually. Tomorrow, once EP Ripka and President Larson sign in. Resign. That's what we're at.
Thank you, Chris Pettigrew.
Councilor Palmer.
Me? Yep.
Oh,
I firstly wanted to speak in defense of bees and that they're going extinct, so I think you should take it easy on the honey. And secondly, my question is for President Reed. What does the day in the life of SU president look like?
Oh. Oh, that's a good question. President Larson. Thank you so much for the question. So the day in the life of a president is pretty interesting, I would say. I wake up at approximately 7:30, check my calendar, and hopefully don't have a meeting at 8 a.m. But in all seriousness, my schedule is set predominantly by staff and by my commitment. So I spend well over a 10-hour day every day going from commitment to commitment to commitment. I generally get lucky on weeks like Reading Week because a lot of university committees slow down, so I get to spend time in my office. A big thing, if you are interested about what I do, including both the internal advocacy and the external advocacy, things like traveling with VP Brown, I will be trying to host more office hours in the future, and I will also be trying to do more shadow days in the future. I'm unfortunately very limited in my ability to pick what day students can attend with me because some of my work is very confidential and or internal facing. So it can be kind of boring to sit and watch me sit and watch somebody else at a committee meeting. However, I will try and find opportunities that are interesting to really showcase what the ability of this role is.
Hey, President Larson. Councillor Hussain.
My question goes to Emma. So the question is, to what extent is your role in restructuring buildings, and also to what, to what degree are you associated with actually maybe buying new equipments? Because I have concern, I have posted several occasions to deal with, and they actually instrument barely work or work on occasion. And this has happened at least twice this year. Their projectors or microphones don't work, and we have hosted last week an AGM didn't work. And on a personal note, I think DWs should be more, distracting the way to better, for betterness, rather than you focusing on services providers, like you say, honey and all that kind of stuff. Those are important. But to an extent, you have buy equipment and also maybe painting or making deals more. I don't want to say good looking in a sense, but restructuring the way it is because it's very old. It doesn't look like more of a bar. Looks like more of an old house. Thank you.
If you're okay.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I'm trying to take all of that and answer it in the best of my abilities. So to what extent does my role look after the nitty-gritty details of each business is like not much. As executives, we set the directions, or as operations and finance, we set the direction of each business, and we just go, fly, managers, please do your best to do this. When things like students want honey at the Daily Grind come up in council, hell yeah, I will pass it on and be like, they would like honey, and they can choose to take it or not. If again and again it's like students want honey at Daily Grind, we will get honey at Daily Grind, you know? And then when it comes to things like projectors not working or service is bad or whatever, definitely pass on those concerns, thank you, and I can pass them to the manager that's in charge of those. And then in regards to kind of more holistically looking at the bars, so Dewey's is, we're doing strategic plans for each one's this year, because generally what happens is an executive will come in and they say, we want this with Dewey's, and then the next year is this, and then this, and this. So you can imagine that it's hard for a manager to keep up with the growing demands, right? So trying to keep some continuity through these strategic plans would be great. And it's not all just about the branding. Of course, that has a lot to do with it, but it's the quality of service and of the food that you get, right? So we're trying to look overall at what needs to be improved, what's the cost of that, and what's the timeline for each of those, and then doing them for each bars. So that's what it'll look like. Thanks.
Councillor Kim.
Sorry, this is a follow-up question to Vicky Brown. Sorry, you just happened to be the first person I got to ask. So very third point in your campaign platform was
attending Council of Faculty Association, COFA, and then advocacy board meeting when available. When I was having consulting with like Faculty Association, they also viewed it very positive that beyond VP academic, there's other vice presidents taking more concerns towards faculty, and I think COFA is probably one of the first ones that's easier or like that are more accessible to go and get to see many people. How many meetings have there been, and how many meetings have you attended so far?
Thank you for the question. I can't speak to how many meetings there have been. That's probably a question VP Batmaier can probably answer better than I can. I have not had the time to attend any yet. A lot of them do have various scheduling conflicts. However, I do think that I do absolutely still intend to be attending those COFA meetings when available, because, and I think this is something that's worth highlighting for all of council, when we get into the new year, we really are going to have to think pretty hard about what the future of our tuition advocacy is going to be after Bill 19. That's going to provide us with a lot of opportunity to be consulting students. It's something that I intend to talk with faculty associations about directly or through COFA. Another one of those topics is something like how we do different various other parts of our advocacy. So as those consultations come up, I'm happy to bring those forward. I absolutely plan on attending COFA meetings in the future.
Thank you. We'll now go to Councilor Hadouche.
All right, first of all, if anyone has any question about the Ecology of Bees, ask me about it, because I love talking about it. But my question is for President Larson. For those people who, the students that have been getting, I guess, sued by the person you took a picture with, has there been any input from the SU, showing them to student legal services, or maybe even using their own legal services to help these students? Like, what has the SU been doing for those students?
President Larson.
Thank you for the question. So this is a very hard topic to approach because of legal reasons, in all honesty. I haven't been approached by any particular student about their, I haven't been approached with a letter and a suit. A lot of students have received what are called takedown requests or slap lawsuits. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're in any sort of legal proceeding. That just means that somebody has threatened legal action against them for the comments that they have made. From my understanding, there is at least one current student who has received these threats. However, I can't really verify that information without that person verifying it himself. Does that make sense? Yeah. Anybody who is going through this, I do highly recommend that they get in contact with, as already mentioned, student legal services or any service that can give them feedback. However, I don't anticipate this going any further, mostly because most of the suits are just based in what is called it is basically an attempt to silence criticism. There isn't much basis for these claims.
President Larson. Councilor Bonnelly.
My question is for President Larson President Larson. So I'm wondering what his hopes are for the International Steering Committee that you've been invited to be a part of, you said?
Yes.
So what are your hopes? What are his hopes for discussions and what that committee produces?
President Larson.
Yeah, thank you for the question. So I've been invited to sit with the International Steering Committee of the University of Alberta. They are looking at putting together a document that basically assesses the need and the for public good to undertake international objectives. It is as big as that. So there's a lot of conversations. There's one about how do we support international students? How do we support international professors, or how do we retain international talent here? How do we ensure that our students get an international experience and others? The basis for my involvement and what I believe I bring to that table is to try and really drive home the student experience in those talks. Like, for example, it's great to say that domestic students should get an international experience, but the number one barrier to that experience would absolutely be cost and opportunity cost. So those things need to be a part of that discussion. There will be a draft document that's eventually kind of brought forward through government. I'll be able to get more direct feedback at that.
Thank you, President Larson. Councillor Bielak.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For Vice President Brown, I read your report. Yeah, and I might be asking this question a little early because I see you linked your presentation to the federal government. And but I'm wondering, like during that presentation to Finance Committee of the federal government, were you speaking, like are they proposing things that you were in favor of, or are you speaking against points that they were making in their bill? If that makes sense.
President Brown.
Oh, fantastic question, thank you. So I was speaking to it's called Bill C-86. It is an 850-page bill, so it's like a mega omnibus bill. Like you think an omnibus is long, this is longer. We only have a few days to prepare for it, so we did find a couple of sections that are most pertinent to students, one of which is copyright law, and the other is poverty reduction. So we pointed out that in the legislation that sort of draws from the government's poverty reduction strategy, there's not much or not enough that talks about education and the value of post-secondary education in regards to poverty. So that can be things like how education is useful to lift people out of poverty, how student financial aid is an essential part of that, and what needs to be done in order to make things like post-secondary education more accessible to people living in poverty. So that's something that wasn't there that I pointed out does need to be there. What is in the legislation is fairly broad and not very. It's not even broad. It's sort of a smaller excerpt. But we pointed out that this is where we would like to see that go. The other part of it has to do with copyright law and the points of fair dealing when it comes to post-secondary education. So the affordability of textbooks, open education resources. We're pleased with the direction it's going in because it's important that it's important that we keep the status quo as it is, that fair dealing when it comes to education remain a part of the Copyright Act, and for education to be removed would be very concerning for us because that means that there is much less access to things like open education resources, more affordable materials, and professors aren't able to use diverse materials as well in the classroom. So to summarize, we're pleased to see where the bill is, but there's more to be done that I did highlight in the presentation.
Thank you, Brown. We've run out of time, so we're wishing to extend. There's currently 6 people on the list. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We are extended. Okay, we'll now go to Governor Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the two business counselors. At the fall AGM of the Business Students Association last week, the BSA passed an amendment to their constitution which recognizes department associations within the business faculty. What do you plan to do what do the counselors plan to do, if anything, to aid in the proliferation and success of these new department associations, if and when they form, in relation to your role in upholding SU Bylaw 8100? Thank you.
Which one of you would like to take that? Who wants it? Councillor Statt, want to go for it? Councillor Zane, if you have anything to add, I'll give you some time afterwards as well. Is that you? That's you. Go ahead. Thank you.
So, I mean, unlike you, Governor Flanagan, I don't know all the bylaws off the top of my head, sadly. So I'll have to review that to be able to give you a proper response. But for now, I think Don does too. We meet with our faculty association actually quite often and have regular communication with them. They haven't asked for any particular help on this issue, but I know also with some of the department associations have also been working with our faculty association to get to that point. So I think the BSA is doing a pretty good job supporting them right now. However, especially having been at the general meeting myself, I will review that bylaw and get back to you with a more comprehensive response outside of just doing whatever I can as a cop-out answer. So I will try to respond to you in a few minutes.
Councillor Sain, you have anything you want to add?
I also am not familiar with bylaws, so to be precise, but the issue of department association, I think it's more of the general faculty council, less of the student council, because they're trying to give student association, let's say BFA, Business Finance Association, to be more in the department. So that's more to do with the general faculty council to look into that, and it's more into concern VP academic. So that's way. And if I know for the meeting, my private vice president says they'll be in contact with, I think, the VP academic to kind of see where this will go to. So this is not a student council issue. This is more of a general faculty council issue. So I hope I answered your question.
Thank you to the counselors. Now to Councilor Belcourt.
My question is directed to Councilor Sunday. Is there anything you would like to add with your ARC report?
Councilor Sunday.
Sorry, everyone. Usually I write down what I'm going to say, but I was busy today. Just really quick note, on Saturday, November 17th, Women Building Futures is having their second annual round dance at Enoch Cree Nation. Specifically, it's at the Enoch Community Center. If you were interested in attending, it's open to the public. There'll be a feast, dancing, door prizes, giveaways, all kinds of stuff. If you're interested in hearing more, just email me and I will send you the information. It is at... The pipe ceremony begins at 4 p.m. and it will probably go well into the morning. It's also on average of Student Council's Facebook page, and they're looking for volunteers. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Sunday. Councilor Kim, your final question.
Final question. I would like to ask my final question to Vithi Orjua. So the very first portion of your executive platform was regarding CAB, so Campus Activity Board. I was wondering, because you have mentioned that you want to create increased frequency and diversity of community-based event initiative and programming on campus beyond what we have so far. So beyond Rad Nights, Campus Cup, Dodgeball Leagues, and things like that, I was just wondering, when was the last time CAB met, and who can go to CAB, and what are the current projects your CAB is currently working on or has done so far?
Great, yeah, thank you for your question. I will point out that when going through the individual executive platform, something that we all do at the start of the year is we take all of our goals that we had written individually in our platforms and we unite around a common purpose as an executive, and then we make that the driving mission of our executive team rather than pursuing individual goals. But to directly answer your question about the Campus Activities Board, the Campus Activities Board has now ceased to exist. Reason being that the folks that were on the Campus Activities Board tended to be the kind of similar type of folks, and I wanted to, I realized that, well, the people anyways that were going to be on this year's Campus Activities Board, right? Last year it was run by Stephen, it was great, but this year I think what I've been doing is, I meet with UASU events and we're doing a mission, vision, and values to determine how we can include or support more events of like an international focus, support more Chinese New Year events, stuff like that. But then also, I'm gonna start sitting on that UAI International Student Consultation Group and asking how we can cater more events to international students, to students from different cultural backgrounds. So basically what I'm saying is the model of Campus Activities Board was still kind of, or the way that I imagined it when I ran for executive was that it was gonna be this group to find out what was wrong on campus, when really you can just go and ask people what they need and ask what kind of events they would like to see, rather than spending an entire year doing like an audit and assessment of what's going on. You can just ask people, hey, what kind of events do you want? So that's kind of what we're doing. If you have any concerns with this plan, though, would love to hear it. And yeah, I'd welcome any feedback.
Thank you. The mics are put again instead of keep screwing with it. I'm still going to use this. Still going to be a speaker. Let's just speak loudly, please. So we'll go to Councillor Hadouche.
All right. My question is for
Rebecca.
This is like a very
kind of
like it's a question that you get all the time. I'm just very curious. Like, do you know the demographics or like how many refugee students we have on campus? And also, do you know the process of like the application like to be like refugee student? Like just what to get to go through. What does SU
can try to answer this if you want to ask another question to President Larson. He might know more, but we take one student a year through the SU through WUSC, and so that's one refugee student that comes. And then I believe that the President's Award is 6 or 7 students. Let's say 5 students. There's 5 students. And so that's 6, and I don't really know about the other students that that might be on campus also through like other sources of funding. Kind of hazy on this, but if you want to follow up with me after the kind of sit why, and if there's any goals that you want to pursue with that, I can definitely look into it for you. Also, I kind of feel like there's people in this room that are like trying to add stuff, so other people might know things also. Sorry for that last answer, but there you go. Thanks.
Councilor Agarwal.
I'm just going to say quickly that St. Joseph's College also takes, I think, 3 families a year, or at least 2 years ago. But my question is for VP Academic. So in your platform, you talk a lot about student and faculty associations, which you have been working towards. However, I think there are a lot of counselors in this room who are having a hard time connecting and figuring out how to strengthen that at a counselor level. What can you do to help us to strengthen that in order to better serve students across campus?
Ms. Benninger.
Thank you for the question. So a really good way for counselors to connect with their faculty associations is honestly through the Council of Faculty Association meetings. So there's 4 boards of that, a senior board, advocacy board, a member services board, and a finance and administration board. These are open to all counselors if you're wanting to come. I had somebody offer at the beginning of my term as well. Just let me know if you're interested or if you want something to be added to the agenda. That is something that I can help you with as well. They're very open and meant for faculty associations to collaborate with each other, although faculty associations are strongest when our counselors update them on what's happening. So COPA, again, acts as another way for us to, another way for the VP Academic to educate faculty associations on what it is the SU is doing. So we have a students and governance policy. A lot of that work will be consulted through them. If we're making big changes to bylaw 81 or 84 or 8200, we also consult them as well. Another simple thing that you can do is a lot of faculty association presidents are wanting to connect with their counselors, but don't know how. So I often connect them to the website where they can email the generic email. So please check your emails if they are reaching out to you. But also, like, be bold and just reach out to them, because often they just don't know your value. And if you provide them with value, they often can reach out to you. Another great way to do this is this November 17th at the Student Leader Summit. We will be forcefully connecting faculty and counselors. So if you're able to come, that would be really, really great, because we do have sessions that talk about how to, I mean, they put you in a real-life scenario about, like, working with your FA, so you really will have no choice but to do that. The Student Leader Summit this Saturday, November 17th, 10 to 4.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Benninger. Councilor Palmer.
Oh, thanks. My question, well, actually, it's more of a risk. Well, it's kind of a question to VP Adams' point in the poverty reduction. But my question more so is for VP Andre, in that when you did your trauma-informed leadership training there, I just wondered if you saw an opportunity for how the SU can advocate for a more trauma-focused experience for folks like, say, the refugees or alternate routes that wind up coming through the Open Studies channels that are difficult because they have many, many barriers and rules and challenges and limitations. So I just wondered if what your insight through that lens might look like.
The group one.
Okay. So trauma-informed approaches, the type of trauma-informed approach, I guess, that I am trying to communicate to council is one about restorative practices when, I guess, a kind of, okay, this is, I'm a little unclear as to what you're asking.
I can rephrase it if that's
sure.
Right. Just speaking to the poverty reduction strategy in lifting people out of poverty by way of education.
Okay, yes, I know exactly what you're asking.
And
now,
what your background and your training that you received from your trauma-informed leadership thing, what insights you might have into either removing barriers through open studies channels for either refugee or alternate method students coming through open studies is the channel for them. So I'm just wondering what you envision. I don't know if I said that correctly.
So I have not heard anything, or I'm not really sure about the open studies part of that, but I'd be happy to chat with you outside of Students Council about how this specifically affects open studies students. With respect to students living in poverty, refugee students, etc., yes, I do believe that it's important for students union, university administrators, faculty, staff, everyone to approach their interactions with individuals as if they are someone who may have experienced trauma in their life. That would be a universally designed system that works for everybody rather than having to first learn about somebody's trauma or have them disclose their trauma to you, and then you can treat them accordingly or make accommodations to your behavior that help that person, or if that makes sense. Another part of this is that I'm also struggling to answer this question a little bit, because the trauma-informed reporting that I was specifically a part of was talking about how to ask questions to very young children who have suffered considerable abuse. I'm trying to, in the moment, in real time, apply this to poverty and refugees, which is difficult for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, for poverty, Campus Food Bank, for example, trains all of their staff to approach customers with a trauma-informed lens. Is, like, asking questions about, tell me why you might be here or something, or describe, you know, your day, or explain something like that. Those are called TED questions, tell, explain, describe. And Campus Food Bank staff are trained in how to do stuff like that. I'd like to see more areas on campus trained in approaches like that. But what that does is it allows you to then tell a student or refer a student to a service if it becomes apparent to you that that person has suffered trauma. I hope that helps answer your question.
Okay, we have time we're like pretty much out of time, but I'll allow one more question. Councilor Clifford, do you have another question?
Yeah, sorry, pardon me, I'll move this up. But my question is directed to VP Academic about your report from last council. I've just been thinking about this. So you mentioned that, like, the Faculty of Medicine and Dentistry are the first faculty on our campus to respond in an extremely positive way to the Truth and Reconciliation calls to action. I was wondering if, like, do you think that this is because they have, like, a paid position for the Indigenous Health Initiative, or are there other ways that we could, like,
either we support or, like, the other faculties could implement the same thing? Yes, thank you for the question. I actually do think it stems down from the fact that they received funding to hire somebody, and in fact they hired a set of staff that looked specifically at their academic admissions into the med-ed program. And so now, instead of like you applying and there being a quota for Indigenous students, they just, like, straight up scrapped the quota and were like, if you want to come into the Faculty of Med and Dent, come into the Faculty of Med and Dent. Like, they're just like, they are very holistic in the way that they approach it, and they actually have a separate committee looking at Indigenous applications. And so we're now not capped at admitting three students. They've actually seen an increase of applicants applying, and they're hoping that in the upcoming years that they'll probably see admissions raise up to even 12 to 15 students. And these students are going to be hopefully not just the Indigenous students, but all students are going to be sort of pioneering a new method of learning medicine that's not specifically focused on the westernized concept of medicine, but looking at how holistic medicine approaches are important to understand. Because if you are going into rural communities, or even staying here in Edmonton or any urban city, responding to Indigenous health issues, you need to be educated on those issues. So as counselors, I would obviously be pushing your, this is more like a general faculties council thing, but I would be pushing your faculty to start looking at different ways that they integrate Indigenous knowledge. So more looking at integrating new and unique ways of understanding the information rather than creating courses, again, taught by white scholars.
So I think it would be really important for, I mean, all of us to start pushing our faculty to start indigenizing their courses at its core, rather than looking at ways that we can just like add a new course or get everyone to take a course, try to start inserting that knowledge in our everyday lives. But that's a great question, and I would follow up with you about the MedGen stuff, because it's really, really exciting.
Thank you, President Batnagar. We've run out of time. There will be a second extension that requires two-thirds majority. Is there anyone who wishes to extend? We have two people in the speaking list. That is not enough to extend. We will conclude the question period there. I'll move into board and committee business, beginning with our item for the late additions. Sunday moves to appoint one member of Students' Council to the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. Is there a second for this motion? Councillor Ferris. Councillor Sunday, would you like to introduce your motion?
Yes, please.
One second here, let me reset the timer. Councillor Sunday, the floor is yours.
Hello, everyone. Once again, we have an opening on the Aboriginal Relations and Reconciliation Committee. We meet every second, we have a new schedule, we meet every second Friday from 12 to 2. Yes, every Friday, every second Friday, every off-council Friday, on-council Friday. We meet every second Friday from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. if you have any questions, please ask. Thanks.
All right, I'll now open the floor to debate and nominations, beginning with Councillor Kim.
Hello. I would like to nominate Councillor
Reed. Councillor Reed, do you accept?
Yes. Thank you.
every Friday at 12.
For an hour, though.
For 1 hour, though, not two. But you get to see all of us every Friday.
Still good. Still good.
Yeah. Any other debate or nominations? Going once. Going twice. We'll conclude it there. Can I hear from Councillor Risby? Right, that moves back into our main agenda. Beginning with, RIPCA moves to appoint two members of Students' Council to the Finance Committee. Is there a second for this motion? Councillor Palmer. VP RIPCA, would you like to introduce this motion?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So yeah, there are two spots open on Finance Committee, just because we have two members due to scheduling conflict have to step down. We meet off Council Wednesdays at 5 o'clock, except tomorrow we're actually having a meeting because we've rescheduled one, so that's very exciting because you get to get right into the nitty-gritty work that Finance Committee does. We'll be approving a bunch of DFUs, which is exciting stuff, and then also hopefully nearing in the next couple of months we'll have some of the management come to do presentations to Council, so that's a really good way to learn more about the operations of the SU.
Thank you, Vice President Ripka. We'll go before the debate nomination, beginning with VP Bourgeois.
I nominate VP Batnica.
President Batnica, do you accept?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Any other debate nominations? We need at least one more, people. Councillor Hussain?
I'm actually going to make myself.
Yes! Yeah. Any other debate or nominations? Going once. Oh, we have here Vice President Ripka.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Bose.
Councillor Bose, do you accept?
Yes, I do.
Oh. Whoa!
Councillor Agarwal.
I'm going to nominate you for change. I mean, it's
happening. Yeah,
Councillor Kim, do you accept?
Unfortunately, no.
Vice President Batnagar.
I rescind my nomination as two of my bosses would like to serve as the
second. No!
Thank you, Mr. Batnagar. Councillor Palmer.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Belford.
Councillor Belford, do you accept?
I respectfully decline.
Thank you. Councilor Belfour. Any more nominations or debates before? Going once. Going twice. Congratulations, Councilors Hussein and Bose. Next item. Councilor Kim moves to nominate one member of Students' Council to the Bylaw Committee. Is there a second for this motion? Councilor Ferris.
That was so late.
Councilor Kim, would you like to introduce the motion?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Hi, everyone. So as I mentioned previously, Bylaw has one spot that's available for a new member. So basically, Bylaw Committee is responsible for reviewing bylaws regularly, overseeing writings of the new bylaw and updating current ones, and upcoming next in the near future is reviewing and writing referenda and plebiscite questions for elections. So if any of this interests you, which I think one of those should interest you, make sure to join Bylaw Committee.
And what does it
mean? We meet, I was just about to say that, we meet off council Thursdays at 4 p.m.
Thank you, Councilor Kim. Are there any nominations or debates on the floor? Councilor Palmer.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Sunday.
Councilor Sunday, do you accept?
I can sit on Bylaw, but thank you.
Thank you. And Councilor Sunday, you're next.
I am just inquiring as to who left Bylaw. If we are privy to that.
If the individual would like to say who it is, you can.
Yeah. No? Oh.
Nominations, please. Councilor Palmer.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Yao.
Councilor Yao, you accept?
Thank you, but I decline.
Thank you, Councilor Yao. Any other nominations or debate? If you Badgar.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Eggerwald.
Councilor Eggerwald, do you accept?
Sorry.
Thank you, Councilor Eggerwald. Let's put Badgar again.
I didn't mean
that. Councilor Kim.
Councilor Stapp,
you accept.
No, if people have questions, they'll just shoot.
Okay. Councilor Palmer.
I'd like to nominate Councilor Sunday.
Councilor Sunday, do you accept?
I accept.
President Larson.
Sorry, this will be I'll call this a point of primary training quick.
Yes.
For the interest of time, as our final encounter motion is something that is time sensitive to the Students' Union, I would ask that any members who are interested in sitting on these boards self-nominate so that we may expedite this process.
Thank you, Larson. And in the same, I guess all the items that are on our agenda orders are time sensitive. I was going to put that one above, but they're both time sensitive, so. Okay. Any other nomination on the floor? Going once. Going twice. Congratulations to Councilor Sutton. That concludes board committee business. I'm moving to general orders, beginning with Ripken moves the student council upon the recommendation of executive committee for a proposed contract to the students' union and student care. Is there a second for this motion? Vice President Bourgeois.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
VP Ripken, the board introduce the motion.
Thank you,
Thank you. Yeah, so as President Larson talked about last council meeting, attached you can find the student care agreement that we have. It's already being used right now. We just kind of need to ratify it via council. Not a ton has changed, except for more coverage when it comes to students, so right, compared to last year, I believe. And also, we've added a clause under 22, section 22.2, in the event of significant political change which impacts or undermines the SU's ability to assess management. That part is about voluntary student unionism, so that's to get out of this agreement or kind of make changes should that arise. We are here to answer any questions. We also have our general manager, so if you have any, please ask. Thank you.
Now open for debate. Councilor Palm.
Yes, I have a question. Like I have student care, like I participate in this program. And if I forget my password or something like this, like I can't just phone them, for example. Like I have to wait until these folks are in, go there. And then they have an app, but it's not connected to the website. And so there's two different logins that you can take a picture and send.
Point of order.
They're two different
Yes, please be robust.
Like, I do not think this is speaking to the motion on the floor.
I'm going to have to agree with you, Bourgeois. That's something that we can't really deal with. That's the company themselves.
I would
not
point out, or like, how do I give them information on that?
You can give
point of information.
Yeah.
All inquiries can be either directed to the sixth floor of the Students Union building to the student care office, or you can email student care. Or if they are not responding to any information or like calls for question or anything, then you can follow up with me or Emma.
Well, I appreciate your concern, but before it was correct, that's not exactly pertinent to the agreement.
Okay, so that's not anywhere in this agreement that you're hoping to sign?
Information?
So
what you're talking about is that the reason why there's two websites, one is for student care, and the other one is bedroom scene where you have to go in and, like, you can see your previous claim. So there are people, student care is our broker, better than our insurance company, that's why there's two websites.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are not. It's not part of the agreement. It's more how the companies. We're not concerned about that. You can talk to the vice presidents about that.
I see. Yeah.
Any other debate before? Going once. Going twice. Seeing none, we'll now go into voting. Voting is now open. Those in the live stream, of course, you can send me your plus or minus. As a private message. Voting will close in 3, 2, 1. With 23 in favor, 1 abstention, 1 opposed, motion passes. All right, we'll go to our next item. Vice President Bourgeois moves to integrate the landing into the Student Services Unit of the University of Alberta Students Union. Is there a second for this motion? Councillor Stacked. Vice President Bourgeois, you can introduce your motion.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, at the landing AGM a little while ago, as I kind of mentioned at the last council meeting, the folks at, for those of you that don't know, it's an annual general meeting. The students in attendance there, 30 students who paid their designated fee unit for the landing, voted to integrate the landing, 28-1-1, into the student services unit of the Students Union. What this means is if we vote yes today, the landing will effectively become a student service, and the landing the way that it is right now, which is independent completely of the Students Union, will not continue to function as it is, right? It will, like, the operations and everything, like, will change over as if nothing had happened, and the landing will now be, like student group services or peer support center or all of the other wonderful services that we have. But because students a few years ago voted on a referendum saying that the landing would be independent and that we would pay $1.50, kind of runs a little contrary to what students voted on, if you interpret it that way. The way that I am going to interpret this is that we can kind of circumvent that. I'm going to look to our general manager just as to how the technicalities of this work. But I do believe that this is a good and legitimate motion to vote on, and that it is a win for the LGBTQ2S+ community on our campus. I will defer, though, to general manager.
Can I have a minute to excuse that?
Sure. So, Councillor Sunday raised a question with us. I forget how it came to my attention, but it's a legitimate point. The actual, in our bylaws, the definition for referendum is that it's legally binding on the students' union. As part of the referendum that was passed, the landing, one of the clauses is that it was being independent of the SU. Now, there are lots of ways to kind of deal with this. Our primary interest here is respecting the will of the community, which has been clearly expressed, and in ensuring a continuous provision of services. We are continuing to kind of assess where this leaves us legally, but we would like to get approval from council to proceed. The landing has given us their opinion. We want council's will to continue this. In terms of the technicalities of how you arrange this, one of the things you have to keep in mind is that council has the authority to levy a justice fee, however it requires, and every DFU has to do reporting. So in a worst case scenario, the landing fails because it's no longer a functional organization, fails to meet the requirements, I would say at this point, to get its allotment as a society, as a separate society. And that they're going to have a problem with that because we're providing the services for them. In that situation, council has the option of basically ceasing to collect the fee and then increasing our fee, $1.50, if required, to continue the funding along the same model. If after consulting with our lawyers we find that that's the way to do it, we'll come back with some motions to that effect. However, to be blunt, the net impact is the same. And that's why we think the council actually has the authority to make this decision. We have, in the past also, it should be noted, respected the referendum. Now we're in a situation where this DFU is not able to function without our assistance. They've asked for our assistance. We want to provide that assistance because it provides a valuable service to the community. And we'd like the council's support in that. Now, I understand what I just went through is a little complicated. So feel free to ask me questions, and I'll try to explain in a more clear way. But I believe, it's my hope that council will see fit to support the continuation of the services. And that's what we're looking for, is kind of your imprimatur to kind of ensure that the landing continues to serve LGBTQ2SI. I can't remember the exact one acronym or list they used, students on this campus, because it's a really needed service.
It says LGBTQQPIAN.
Thank you, Councilor Paul.
All right, now before debate, game of Councilor Sunday.
Thank you. So for myself, as it currently stands, I will most likely be voting no, not because I don't believe that the landing should be incorporated into the Students' Union, but because the initial referendum that was passed by the Students' Union, which again, as General Manager said, was a legally binding agreement, explicitly stated that the landing's governance structure would be separate from the Students' Union. In fact, the minutes from when the initial referendum was approved, the initial referendum question was amended to include that it would be separate. So to me, that shows that it was an important issue, including for all the people who ran the DFU and who've been, you know, working with the landing these past years. It was obviously important that, and for the thousands of students who voted yes for the referendum, that the landing would be separate from the Students' Union. So based on that, I would vote a no, just because I believe it, since it will be Incorporated. That will be kind of going against what students voted for. However, I would not say no for the fact if the fee was not collected. If the fee was not collected, I would agree. Again, my point is not on the letting be incorporated. It's just on the fact that it goes against the referendum that passed that allows the letting to collect the fee. Thank you.
Anything else for Sunday? Those are the same.
My question is, so how do you actually come to voting? That should be SU, part of SU? Because I understand the landing functions the way EPIC functions, in which when you had an AGM, you have to have around almost 50 people present. The AGM, 30?
30. This one was 30, is required by government.
Oh, okay, because from my understanding, it's usually 50. Okay, so it's 30, then it's okay. Because I was questioning it from with base on numbers based on 50. If you can't, if there's no 50 people, there's no quorum, you can't pass anything. Yeah,
yeah, in the standing orders, it says 30 is quorum. So we were right at quorum, 28-1-1.
Okay. Although, then my question ends there.
Anything else for Hussein? Councillor Staff.
I'm actually in favor with Councillor Sunday on this motion. I, same citizen, I actually think it's good to get on landing. I think it sort of makes sense to obviously incorporate the SU with this struggle. However, I also do find issue with the fee, and I think maybe a logical solution down the line, or very close now, is just not charge that fee. I think that's what's making it fine at the moment. And levy that ourselves until such a time that the additional SU would be able to the public know why. I would say we should consult the students in this circumstance, do it at the referendum to see if they would like to have it and have us have it or just not have it, because if people want us to have it. But I don't think we have time. So I'm not sure what the solution is. I think it's a very rocky hard place. And so I'm struggling to vote no, but I think I'm
Councilor Palmer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm just wondering about the Sexual Assault Center of Alberta and if that goes into SU or if the landing is recognized as a separate entity like the Sexual Assault Center of U Alberta. Or is it structured in the same
point
way?
Of information.
It's separate. Sunday, go ahead.
It's separate.
It is separate. Sorry, the landing is separate currently because people voted, but is the Sexual Assault Center separate?
Yeah, there are two separate organizations, the landing and Sexual Assault Center.
I know, but my question is the Sexual Assault Center of the university part of SU as well, or it will get
separate? No, it's separate. It's not part of this.
And this also is separate?
Yes.
But in the alternative of it not being adopted into SU, can it be adopted through the Sexual Assault Center? Something like this? Just the same space or more
similar? I'll give the floor to Mark to speak.
So, council decided what it wants to do. I mean, we of course brought it forward because at the next council that we could, because we felt it was important that council be able to say if there is discomfort, we can massage. Rest assured that in the interim, we are continuing to operate the landing as per the will of the landing members at the AGM. And in continuation of basically an existing services agreement that we negotiated with the prior board. The issue we have with that right now is we don't have a functional board, so one of the options we discussed was doing an arrangement where we could continue that services arrangement for the next year, because it's important to keep in mind the landing is due to go back to either plebiscite or referendum next year anyways. So we're really worried about how do we deal with the next year, maybe two, of making sure that it's so don't panic, because we're not, the landing isn't gonna, if we don't come to a conclusion today, or if you're uncomfortable, that no one's holding a gun to council's head saying we have to do this. We've been running it for the past month, essentially, past half a month, on the understanding that's the best way to serve students. We do want to get it right. I do think there is I don't think it's a bad thing for council to pass now. If we go back, if we find that we need to get further clarification, we would do that anyways. But again, there's no gun to the council's head. The landing isn't an imminent threat. We're going to make sure the landing keeps going because it's a valued service on the community. We just want to get council's feedback, essentially. So. Is that fair, Andre?
I am going to speak in favor of the motion. From my current understanding, the landing AGM gave a pretty clear mandate, which was that the landing wanted this motion to go forward to council. A very clear mandate through memorandums of understanding and other agreements with the landing to continue to operate its functions. And this motion allows for us to actually legitimize a lot of that. To ensure that there is proper functioning of the landing. I do take a bit of a different approach than Mark, which is that I do believe it is important, that I do believe it would be very difficult to keep the landing running without us being able to legitimize that approach, which is why I will be voting in favor. As already stated, council can revisit this, and we will absolutely present any sort of fee arrangement as necessary, but right now, there is no ability for the landing to function without our support.
Thank you, President Larson. Vice President Bourgeois.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will just point out that there was attached to Council Agenda, I recognize that I submitted it on the last day to submit, but there is a 25-page information item outlining the months-long consultation that was engaged in by both Landing and Students Union, who addressed both volunteers. There were 72 respondents with both extreme qualitative and quantitative analysis, and fairly unanimous consensus that the best plan forward was not to remain independent. Like, that is very, very clear. The biggest cons that were identified were working with a volunteer board. If you compare this to Campus Food Bank, for example, Campus Food Bank started as an SU service, and then once they were very established, well-known within the community, had a lot of resources, had a lot of buy-in, had a lot of community support, then they went to the society status where they were independent, etc. So if, like, I'm chair of the landing board right now, we have not enough members even to make quorum because it's a volunteer board and we would have to do that entire like kickstart up. If we want, we can table this motion till later, come back with a more comprehensive report, but to the students or to the student counselors in the room who are strongly leaning to the no side, I would recommend that you read the entire 25-page report and my report on the AGM. I do think that they will be informed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm just wondering, I think my concern has been clarified a little bit, but if, like, what the best thing for the service is. So people know, by God, that in the long term, the service will eventually collapse because there's not enough resources for it to operate, and you go, yes.
Point of information.
Yeah, please.
Well, like, the Students Union is not going to let the landing fail. Like, at the end of the day, that service needs to exist. And regardless whether or not we vote to integrate, like, we're going to keep supporting the landing because that space needs to exist. But on paper, it would be a hell of a lot easier if they were a part of our family.
Mark, go ahead. I just want to be really clear. Like, with this, it would be great to get an idea from council to, like, just to get an affirmation from council that this is a direction we should proceed in. We've always understood that we have to actually figure out exactly what the mechanics of that are. But executive wanted to bring this. We wanted to bring this forward so that council could affirm that's where you want us to go. We will get an opinion from our lawyer, and I can share it with council as to whether this is legitimate or anything else we need to do, and then act accordingly. I guess the way that I would encourage you to view this is the way to view this motion is this something that the students' union should do? Much in the same way that we asked at the Landon AGM, is this the way we need to go? As we said at the AGM, there are some things about it we are going to have, there are some legalities we're going to have to sort out. Unfortunately, I was away last week, so I wasn't able to get that all prepared, and I apologize for that. But I still think it is worthwhile to affirm council's commitment to this program, as President Larson said. I'm sucking with my boss now. But again, it's like VP Bourgeois said, we will not let the lending kind of wither and die in any case. It's very clear in I think the members of the landing, of which you're all, by the way, members, as dues-paying members, the members of the landing at the AGM were pretty clear that their priority is making sure that service delivery doesn't get interrupted, and we've committed as a students' union to ensure that service commitment isn't interrupted. So at the end of the day, we're really talking about how do we pay for that? Where does that money come from? Because we're talking about the students' union taking over that for the next year or so, that core set of functions that are laid out in the bylaw. The mechanics of how those things are delivered is something that is a legitimate matter of discussion. But the students' union, we would like the students' union to commit that we will offer those services. The mechanics of the DFU and our compliance with our own bylaws, which is of course of central importance overall, is something that we can resolve. I don't foresee any problem with that, because council, as someone else said, could just fund it, right? We could just fund it. But we want to get your opinion and support on adopting landing, so to speak.
Hey, Mark.
I'd just like to make a motion to extend, since it's 9 o'clock, for 20 minutes.
20 minutes?
Yeah.
That's what I was
going to
do.
Second for that? Councilor Palmer, all in favor? All opposed? We'll extend till 9:20.
I'd like to make a motion for the board.
Yes.
Can I motion to postpone this motion until we have heard back from the Students' Union lawyers?
Motion to postpone. Do you have a date you'd like to postpone until?
Until we hear from the lawyers at the
March
Union.
Next meeting.
Yeah, next meeting.
Yeah, by next meeting.
Okay, I said we'll come to the next meeting, seconded by Vice President Bourgeois. We will now go to debate on that motion.
I agree.
That one is a debatable motion. So we'll keep, if you'd like to speak to the main motion, don't unpress your button. If you want to speak to the new motion, just raise your hand or your placard and I'll get you. Councilor Stack.
I'm fully in favor of that motion.
Councilor Kim.
Call
the question. Okay. I'll put that in order. Second by Vice President Bourgeois. All in favor of calling the question of the motion to postpone?
Yes.
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 Wait.
Calling the question of the motion to postpone this item. All opposed?
Yes.
Motion carries. Item postponed.
Wait,
that's correct. That's the call of question. Now we vote on the
motion. Do we want to postpone?
All right.
Yes.
I will open voting now. Use your buttons.
Yes.
This is the motion. This is voting on the motion to postpone until next meeting. We are not voting on whether or not to accept this motion. We're voting on the motion to postpone. Those of you on the live stream, please send me your votes.
Oh, do we want to press?
Yeah, press the buttons.
Well, I guess we'll be seeing Mark at the next meeting too, then.
All right, voting is now closed. 23 in favor, 1 opposed. Motion is postponed.
1 opposed.
Okay, moving to our final item. Ripka moves in camera for business strategy discussion. Seconded by. We'll give someone who hasn't seconded yet today. Councilor Agarwal, yeah, that's the next one. I think you have. All right. All in favor of going in camera? Actually, well, I'll let VP Ripka choose why they want to go.
Well, can't isn't that sensitive, like, why?
No, it's a business strategy discussion. Don't give me any details. Just say what we want, what you want to talk about.
Mr. Speaker, this is going to be about strategy of one of our businesses.
Okay, that's fair. All right, all in favor?
Yeah.
Any opposed? That carries. We are now in camera. All those members of council.